Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
Today, I want to talk to you about sin. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to be talking about you today. Sin and who you are and what you have. First of all, when you were born, how many of you were born? Raise your hand if you were born. How many of you were born a baby? How many of y'all, you weren't a sinner when you first came out? It's not like you popped out and said, hey, I need a designated driver, where's my cigarettes, and how do I get to the casino? That's probably not what you said, right? You came out, and you're just like, you get mad because that dude slapped you right away, but that was about it. Then you learned to lie. Nobody taught me how to lie. Nobody taught me how to cheat. Came very natural to me. I was very good at lying just right away. You know, got chocolate all over my mouth. Mom's like, did you steal the cookies? Absolutely not. Wasn't me. Or like, did you slap... You know, because I had a little temper. Like, did you slap your cousin, you know, with the Barbie? Because, and I know it sounds bad, I'm playing with Barbies, but I had my cousin Tammy. She loved Barbies, and I play with her a lot, so I play with Barbies. I'm not ashamed to talk about that. I've played with a lot of Barbies. I know how to rip their heads off, put them back on. Come on, it helps you in relationships. And she said, hey, did you hit, you know, Matt in the head with the Barbie? Absolutely not. Matt, well, you're standing there with a Barbie in your hand, and the Barbie didn't have a head. Matt ran his head into my Barbie. I can't help that Matt ran his head into my Barbie. But how many of y'all know I was lying? How many of y'all have a problem with lying, cheating, stealing, all that stuff? Raise your hand if you've ever done any of these. You're still lying because you're in church and not raising your hand, all right? So we came out, we were pretty clean. Then sin comes in. It's probably, you know, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, whatever. And I think we start contaminating ourselves. We say, man, I could never be clean again. I could never be holy again. Look at me. Look what I've done with my life. Then all of a sudden we get information about the Word, and we realize we're not what we did. Now, if we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places, we now receive Jesus, we don't achieve it. His love and His grace redeems us, revives us, renews us, and restores us. But you say, well, still, what about the sin? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things have passed away. So now, this represents Christ. Clearly it says it right there. So now, we start coming to church and we hear the Word. The more Word we hear, the more revelation we get, the cleaner we become. And now we're like, whoa, okay, check this out. Phenomenal. Look what the Lord has done. Now, you got to remember that sin has no effect on Jesus. Check this out. You pour sin on Jesus, it's like it doesn't even faze him. But eventually, now that the more Jesus you have in, the sin, the temptation that happens comes to you, and you're no longer as affected by it. You just have the temptation, but no longer are you a slave to it. It's kind of back here in the distant past. It's like, okay, that's back there, but I'm still tempted to sin, but I'm not a sinner. Because you got saved, your spirit man, but your body never got saved. So we got to identify the difference between you, who you are. St. Paul said, the thing that I don't want to do, I do, and the thing that I want to do, I don't do. Anybody ever know what I'm talking about? That means for me, I have a little bit of an eating problem. Everybody in my family had an eating problem. If I get messed up in the head, man, I'll run straight to bad food. And I believe this happened all the way in the garden when there was temptation with food. Remember Jesus, they came and said, if you are the Son of God, then command these stones to be turned into bread. How many of y'all know that the devil has been trying to tempt us with the carbs for the long time? Okay. So to me, if I get messed up in the head, I'm like, I always kept Girl Scout cookies because it's just the best cookies in the world. And you take Thin Mints and you freeze them. You put them in the freezer and you hide them behind all the vegetables so nobody else sees these. Come on, I'm teaching you right now. So you hide those back there. Nobody's going to look behind the spinach or the carrots. So then when I get messed up, I go, and if you know anything about Girl Scout cookies, there's two tubes. So I would eat the one tube and then I'd be like, that didn't fix it. I still got a hole in my soul. Something's still wrong. I'm still jacked up. So then I would eat the second part. Now you kind of, you know, put the tube back in there and it's like, man, this is messed up. If Nicole actually finds this, she's going to know that she didn't know anything about this, which number one, that's a problem. Then number two, if she finds out, she's going to tell me, David Crank, you're out of control. So what I need to do is go eat the other rest of that tube. I can handle this, not a big deal. And I'm actually going to take the box now. I've done this. Take the box outside so nobody knows. Go out, stick my hand in a dirty trash can and move stuff around. Come on, somebody help me right now. So nobody knows about my sin. Because I got to hide it. Because as long as nobody sees it, we ain't got a problem. Come on, somebody. Help me out. I got to. You act so holy. I wish God would reveal to me all the stuff that you've done in the last 24 hours so I could share it with everybody. So I had to distance myself from it. Not that I'm tempted. I am tempted. But what I have to do is not have Girl Scout cookies in the house. So now I pastor multi-site, multi-state, 20,000 member church. Every little kid comes up to me when they need to raise money. Well, Girl Scout cookies, or hey, our band needs horns, so you need to buy this chocolate. I can't tell them no. So what I do is I pay my money and I say, when you deliver it, give it to Pastor Omar. So then Pastor Omar's like, oh, God's been blessing me. Come on, somebody. Pastor Omar preaches, God's good, I tell you. He's a good guy. God will love you. Okay? But I'm like, I can't handle it. Can't put it in my house. You know what I'm saying? So now I understand that I have to separate myself from, not put myself in those scenarios anymore. Because show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So it doesn't mean that we can't love people that we used to sin with. It's just like, if you always found yourself, this is 1130 crowd, right? Butt naked with that girl. That means she can't spend the night at your house. Getting quiet up in here. It means, hey, I love you. I really love you. I love you too much. Seem like every time you spend the night, I don't want to go to church tomorrow. I really feel like we've went somewhere with this deal. You got to know whatever it is. Whatever the Lord's dealing with you about, the thing that you hate, that you keep doing, that you hate about you, the only thing is to not say, I hate me, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. When you focus on sin, you get more sin. When you focus on Jesus and what he did, all of a sudden now you're still tempted, but it's not a sin to be tempted, it's a sin to yield to temptation. So try to separate yourself from it as much as you can till you get strong, and then you realize, no big deal. Okay? Now let's talk about the Lord's love. Let's all shout it. Shout, the Lord loves me. Like you had breakfast. The Lord loves me. Now, check this out. In Matthew 3, verse 13, then Jesus came to Galilee, to John, to the Jordan, to be baptized by him. Baptism is important. A lot of you guys are doing it today. So John tried to prevent Jesus, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Can you imagine Jesus asked you to baptize him? But Jesus answered and said unto him, permit it to be so, because we need to fulfill the scripture. Then he allowed it to happen. And when he was baptized, Jesus came up immediately out of the water, and behold, the heavens opened up, and he saw the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove. He's not a dove. Like a dove, lighting on him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well. Please. Didn't sound exactly like that, but I'm pretty sure it was real close. This is my beloved son. Everybody shout, beloved son. Notice that even though Jesus was part of the Godhead, when he was in the earth realm, he was not acting as God, he was acting as man. And God knew that Jesus needed to know the Lord's love for him was strong, because people do better when they feel the affirmation and love of a father. Yeah. So Jesus feels and hears, and he said, this is my beloved son. And it's a good thing, because right after that, it says that he was led, and I told you that scripture a moment ago, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Notice that God doesn't tempt people, the devil tempts people. Jesus doesn't even have to like set you up to be tempted, because he doesn't. It says God tempts no man with evil. He doesn't do it. He's not an evil God. But the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if it's good, it's God. Very easy. If it's bad, it's the devil. Okay? So now the devil tempts him, and he says, if you are the son of God, if you are questioning, if, what do you mean, if I am? Of course I'm the son of God. If you are. If is the devil's badge of doubt. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't act that way. If you really loved your wife, you wouldn't think that way. If you really loved your kids, you wouldn't do that. If. Always questioning who you are. That's why you got to come to church and find out who you are. You're anointed, you're blessed, you're qualified, you're esteemed, you're affirmed, you're loved by God, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, you're a new creature created in Christ for good works. I mean, this is awesome, right? So now Jesus loves you, right? Now remember, you can't be strong for the Lord, you got to be strong in the Lord.
That's right.
Ephesians 6 and 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And it talks about the full armor of God. You can't be strong for the Lord. You got to be strong in the Lord. My daughter, last night, we went to see Megan Good's new movie, only because I knew it was scary, and we usually don't see scary movies, but Megan Good is a very dear, close friend of our family. And so I had to go see it. So we went to see it last night, and Megan's going down to the basement, and it's real scary. And I'm like, Megan, don't. So then we left. Ashton's grabbing my arm. She's screaming in the movie theater. And then when she left, she said, I hope you know that there's going to be a very warm spot next to you tonight in bed. And it's going to be me, because she's 15. I said, okay. Because she knew I love her. I'm not going to let anything happen to her. Because when I sleep, I pray. I don't pray, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I don't pray that. I say he gives his angels charge over me. I thank you, Lord, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God, I thank you, give your angels are protecting our house. God, we're sleep great. And then I sleep with a Glock on the one side and a 357 on the other. No joke. And I have any God-fearing American has a 12-gauge shotgun next to the bed. And I have two security dogs, a little 2-pound Yorkie and a 2-pound pom.
Call it what you want, but man, those dogs bark and yap and they'll bite them on the ankles, right? So now she's in the bed with me. She wasn't trying to be strong for her father. She was strong because of her father. She knows I love her. I would die for her. Now, she wouldn't die for me. I know that for a fact. I know she wouldn't die for me. I just know it. Because she's never given me a World's Greatest Dad t-shirt. I ask her, like, make me a Hot Pocket. Make your own dang Hot Pocket. She ain't going to die for me. Come on, somebody. After everything I've done for her, she's not going to die for me. So she can never impress me with her love for me. It won't compare. But I'm here to tell you right now that I don't compare to the Father's love for you. He loves you so much that he sent his only son, it's not an Easter thing, his only son to die for you, not so you could just not go to hell, but you could actually not live in hell now, that you could walk into a room and know, you know what, the Lord loves me, I'm the beloved son of God. So when the devil says, if you were a Christian, you would act like this, if you were in control of your emotions, you wouldn't do that. You're not what you did, you're what you've done. So now sin doesn't have dominion over you. It's still there, and the devil, the Bible says, is an accuser of the brother. So he's always going to tell you no good. So you can be standing there, maybe you're a 19-year-old dude, you got your ear pods in, and you're listening to songs, and you're jamming, and you're hearing the word, and you listen to a podcast, you went to church with a small group, you went to Revenant, things are great, and then you look to the left of you at the Snooks aisle, and there is a beautiful girl, barely dressed, three of them. When you look over, you don't go, I'm not tempted anymore. You look and you go, God, you really know what you're doing, Jesus, this is unbelievable. Look what the Lord has done. Come on, somebody. Don't act like you're like, I ain't never. Well, why is the nursery so full? You act like you had never. And so when you look at that, you don't go, man, I lost my salvation. I'm such a sinner. No, you look at it and go, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to look at that. Then you go over here and you find like some old magazines, like home decorating magazines, and throw them over that. Come on, somebody. This is how you get the Girl Scout cookies out of your way. So I'm not looking at that. Now, you're not a sinner because you're tempted to sin. And even when we do sin, we're not a sinner, we're practicing righteousness. There is therefore, this is the Bible, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, you're practicing righteousness, you're not practicing sin. After all, I was a good sinner with very little practice. It was natural to me. Anybody like that? Just, I didn't have to practice a lot. I was good, okay? I didn't need it. So now we're practicing righteousness. Now again, my daughter, 15, last night in the bed. She was born at St. John's Hospital, and I never thought I could fall in love with a bald-headed, toothless woman, but I did. And she was there. She was little. We brought her home. She had lived at our house for about 2 months. Now, when we moved in that house, within a week, I knew where everything was at. I was very familiar with everything. However, after 2 months, I discovered that she was not familiar with where everything was at. She'd been there for 2 months. So I went into her crib, and I told her, Ashton, you've lived here for 2 months. It's ridiculous. You cry in the middle of the night. You scream like crazy. First of all, you need to start communicating verbally. Talk to me about what it is you want. This whole screaming and crying and turning red is so childish. Stop it. Secondly, just like the rest of us, there's steps that go downstairs. You need to take your little happy butt downstairs, and there's a microwave down there, and make your own Hot Pocket. But stop waking me up. And then, by the way, when I get up in the middle of the night and we have to change your diaper, that's ridiculous. You need to stop that. Guess what? We have a toilet in here, and everybody uses it. I use it. Your mama uses it. I knew where it was the first day I came in. You've lived for 2 months. She's just looking at me with one eye kind of crossed. I'm like, God, is she going to be cross-eyed? What's the deal with it? Not saying anything, making noises. After 6 months, same talk. Here's the deal, man. You've lived in this house for 6 months. They say that you're in like the 90th percentile. You're an achiever, an overachiever. Let's do this. When I lay you down, I put you down, and you're crawling around. You're not a cat. You're not a dog. Why are you crawling around on all fours? You need to get up. Watch me, Ashton. Look, you're 6 months. You get up and you move. Watch. I'll even do it backwards, okay? This is ridiculous. You need to learn how to walk. How many of y'all know that's stupid? She's 6 months. She finally learned to walk, and it was like this. And then we were walking around her, making sure she didn't fall and hit her head. And, oh, it's careful. Oh, look at this. How it is. It's the same way with you. You might be 50, but you're new to this whole thing. You don't know who you are. You don't know how to walk yet. So for you to assume that you came in and you received Jesus, you got baptized, you went through growth track, you're like, yeah, but why am I still messing up?
It still smells bad around me. I'm still doing those things. It's because we are created for good works, but we grow in grace and relationship, and it takes time to learn to walk by faith, to get new behaviors. I wish somebody praise God in here right now. You're not what you do. You're what Jesus did. So no longer does sin have dominion and control over you. Now you're under grace. Now, I want to read this passage in Romans 8 after out of the Message Bible. It says, So what do you think? Should we keep on sinning? Is God such a forgiver? Let's just keep doing that. Because there is part of that you can do that. I've asked God to forgive me of stuff and smiling while I ask him. God, I'm so sorry I did that. Anybody? Anybody ever repented just so you wouldn't go to hell? You're like, oh, I'm in church. I better repent. But I'm probably going to do that again because she's hot or it was good or it tastes good. I'm going to try it over here. We got a bunch of priests over here. It's a whole convent over here. Anybody over here? Joe, raise your hand. I know you're a sinner. You got 12 kids. Watch this. Verse 3 says, or do you realize that we packed up and left for good? That's what happened at baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. We came up out of the water and we entered in the new country of grace. A new life, a new land. That's what baptism is the baptism into Jesus. We were lowered into the water like the burial of Jesus. We were raised up in the water like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us has been raised up into a new light filled with the glory of the Father. Now we're moving into this new grace, this sovereign country of grace. Could it be any clearer? The old man, the old life was nailed to the cross. And now this miserable, sinless life that was beckoning us no longer has control over us. It's a new sovereign country. Hey, boy, this jacket, you may or may not like it. It doesn't really matter. My daughter told me to wear it and she dresses me and I pretty much do what women tell me to do. I'm the only guy in our house. Even our dogs are girls. The GPS is a girl. Come on, any guys know what I'm talking about? I'm the minority in my house. This jacket has no life without me. Your body's that way. Your body, your skeleton. It's your earth suit. This suit is what covers me and keeps me covered. When you were born, you put on the earth suit. When Jesus was born into the world, he put on this earth suit. For 33 years, he walked around as a sinless, spotless Savior for us, and he modeled the behavior, tempted in all points like we were, but he knows that the Father loves him, so now the Father's affirmation makes him do better. May I tell you that you will do better, let's go here, if you think better. As a man thinketh, so is he. I always say a mind stretch never goes back to its original size. So if you get around the right people and you're in a group, if you just come here like every other Sunday, that's great. You got your God thing on. Like, you know, I figure if I have, you know, 48 bulletins out of 52, it's a receipt to go to heaven. Okay, that's not the way it is. We come to church, we grow in church, we hear the word, the worship's awesome, right? The preaching's good at least every other week because Nicole's here. So now we know that we get this word and now we get around the right people in a small group and we grow in grace and now sin doesn't control us anymore. Even when it comes, we're like, oh no, it's not going to affect us. We're strong in the Lord, not for the Lord. And then when we do fall into sin, and we do, we have an advocate with the Father. We admit it, quit it, and forget it, and say, God, I thank you. We don't need a priest. You don't need a preacher. We respect priests and preachers, but ultimately we say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man could die for us but Jesus, and he is the only one who could actually remiss us or free us from our sins, okay? And I love all religions as long as they all point to Jesus. Okay, so now, when you know who you are, it brings out the best in you. So I try to affirm my kids. I have a son. He's 29. He was 7 when Nicole and I got married. And he's not biologically my son, but he's my son. And I always told him, I love you. I'm proud of you. He's a grown dude. He's in college, and I'd be hugging him at the mall. He's like, don't do that, man. Come on, give me a hug. You can't resist me. And I'll hug on him and love him. Affirm him, affirm him, affirm him, affirm him. Because I wanted him to know his father loves him. The Father loves you. The Father loves you. The Father loves you. So then when you go to do something stupid, you don't think, well, nobody loves me anyway. No, the Lord loves me. Now, you might not have had a biological or earthly father that did that, but I'm telling you, people do better when they receive the love or the affirmation of a father. But maybe you'll never get it here out of an earthly father, but you can get it out of the Father of God, and God can affirm you, and you can start hearing the word, and you're like, I know the Lord loves me, so I'm not going to do that because I know his plans he has for me, and they're for good and not for evil to bring me to expect it in. I believe I'm blessed. I believe I'm favored. I believe I'm equipped, that I can do something good, and I am forgiven. Everybody shout, I'm forgiven. You want to make sure that you're focused not on what you did wrong, you're focused on what you did right. This last week, I was on that Southwest Airlines, as I don't know if I told you some of that or not, but I preached a lot of services today, so sometimes I get confused which one that I sell this in. But I was flying to go preach the National Hispanic Convention this week, and I got on Southwest Airlines, and I have the little card because I travel anywhere from 300,000 to 500,000 miles a year. So when I have the little A card, so I get up there and I run into the airplane, and it was already a connecting flight, so somebody already had the seat I take, which is the exit seat. Because how many of y'all know if you go down, you won't be one of the first ones out? No. That's not the reason why I go. I go there because there's there's room there. And I realized, oh, I can't sit there. I sit at the front. So I sit at the front, sit down, and I knew that the steward didn't like me when I got on the plane. I just knew he didn't. Now I'm in St. Louis, so I know everybody. I got to be good, not only because Jesus wants me to, but everybody on the flight probably knows me, even if they don't say they know me. So he was very rude and abrasive and just mean to me. But I just kept taking it. Then I'm a pilot, so I know the rules of the FAA. I have something in my pocket he doesn't have. I know how to fly these things. So I know when I can legally get up and go. And so now I got to go because we were late, and I drank a bunch of water, and now we're 30 minutes in the flight, and I can legally go to the bathroom. So I got up, and he tells me real loud, sit down. The sign says sit down until I tell you to get back up. Now immediately, my flesh got up, thought, I'm a 50-year-old man who's about to throw you out of this plane. Okay? But all of a sudden now I feel this checking going, don't do that. So it was hard on me. I'm like, So I went to the bathroom and then I stayed in there. I was staying there for two reasons. Number one, to make him mad. I'm up. I'm staying here as long as I can. But also I was thinking about, and I could hear the Lord inside here. Here's the problem with the Lord is he's not yelling like, David, here's what you need to do. Do you hear me? No, it's a still small voice. It's a still small voice that says, you're out of control. You're angry. Tell him you're sorry. You were wrong. You just know that you know. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know. I don't know why I knew there was a cop there, but I did. I don't know why I used the cop thing, but I don't know. It's there. I'm trying to figure it out right now in my head. Maybe I'm hungry for a donut right now. I don't know. But so there's a check in your spirit. So I get a check in my spirit, and here's what came up in me. The Lord said, that guy doesn't know how much the Lord loves him, and he knows who you are, and he doesn't like you because he thinks you think you're good, and he feels so bad about him. So I thought, man, now I have a different perspective about the guy. The guy doesn't know the Lord loves him. And it's not really me he doesn't like. He doesn't like himself. Most of the time when people are mad at you, it's not that they're mad at you. They're mad at themselves. Anybody ever been mad at somebody, but really you weren't mad at them? They only said, do you want oatmeal? And you're like, no, I don't want oatmeal. I told you I don't want oatmeal. I'm sick of oatmeal. Can you make something out? All I said was I want oatmeal. No, you had said a lot of things prior to that. Come on, raise your old sinning hand right now. Like, girls all the time, like, guy comes up to me all the time at church, pray for me, she left me. All I said was, I'm like, stop there. I don't even know you, but I can promise you that is not all you said. If you've lived with a woman for a long time, you spit in the sink, you left your underwear, put it on the thing, you're burping and the alphabet, watching football all day, that was enough right there for her to kill you. I don't know why she didn't. Okay, it's not all we said. So he feels bad about himself. So a lot of times it helps us even deal with other people because we realize it's not us they're mad at. They're mad at themselves because they haven't went to a faith church that tells you who you are and what you have in Christ. So no longer are you going to slap them because you're like, they don't need slap. They need hug. So really in a perfect world when the guy said, sit down, shut up, go to the bathroom. If I was a true Christian. Now we got to remember, I'm the guy that was ripping heads off Barbies. Come on, somebody. Sir. I could have looked at him and if I'd have done the right thing, and I said, man, I know, I'm so sorry. But is there any way, could I have a pass? Can I have permission to go? That would have made him feel like this. It would have put me in a better position. But instead, I thought, I got rights. I'm an American. I've been to the 4th of July thing a million times. I've heard Lee Greenwood sing it 10 million times. If tomorrow everything was gone that I worked for all my life and I had to do it again with all my children in my life, I'm proud to be an American. No. I'm not American. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm created for good works, and I happen to have a temporary visa to live in America. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. We're representing Jesus. We should love people in spite of the way they treat us. Look at your neighbor and say, I can tell this message helping you, you little heathen. I wrote this down. I can't believe you guys talk to each other like that. It's just crazy. I wrote this down this week when somebody really aggravated me, and I was going to send an email. I said, if your emotions are high, oftentimes your judgment is low. So before you meet, tweet, or hit send, calm yourself down. This would be good for everybody, even the president. If your emotions are high, oftentimes your judgment is low. So before you meet, tweet, or hit send, chill. I was just joking for everybody who's, it's not political at all with me. I love and pray for him and pray for Obama, pray for all of them. I knew that America was screwed up when they asked me to come up and help them a few years ago. Nancy Pelosi and those guys asked me to come up, and that's when I knew. As a homeschooler from Missouri, this is worse than I thought it was. So if your emotions are high, oftentimes your judgment is low. So before you meet, tweet, or hit send, because anger is a sin. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. In other words, Jesus was angry when he flipped the tables over. He was angry, but he didn't sin because it's an emotion. God gave you the emotion of anger, but if the emotion's not controlled, then you fly off the handle. So my dad was a cop, right? A mad cop, an aggravated cop, ticked off, Vietnam trained. He was just mad. His father threatened him all the time and beat him, and so he was just mad. So growing up, we'd be riding the motorcycle, Telegraph, a mile from where he's buried right now. I remember one particular time, somebody was swerving over in the lane and trying to hit him on the motorcycle. And we weren't doing anything. And my dad got so mad. He literally lost his mind. He pulled up at the traffic sign, put his kickstand down, went over. The guy rolled up his window. My dad bust his hand through the window, yanked his car keys out, threw him in the middle of the place. And then he said, I'm going to call the cops. And my dad pulled out his badge and said, I'm here. What would you like me to do? That's the way I was raised. So if you tell me, sit down, shut up, and go to the bathroom, I think, what would my dad do? Well, I'm going to the bathroom, and I'm taking you with me, and I'm about to baptize your head on a toilet. That's what I'm going to do right now. I done sized you up, and I know what. Some of y'all are looking, oh, it's in there. But then I got to go, I'm not going to do what my dad did. I'm going to do what my father did. And he said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass for me. I'm going to back up, be nice. And I'm going to quote Galatians 5:23. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, gentleness. Oh, God, love, joy, peace, love, joy, peace, love, joy, peace. Love. I don't want to kill him. I don't want to kill him. I don't want to kill him. I do want to kill him. No, I'm not going to kill him. Kill him. No, 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 no. You better get me a Diet Coke and peanuts quick because I've got a problem. Because the flesh never got saved. Some of you might be the first time here, and you're like, man, this is a comedy club, or is this church? I'm putting a lot of Bible in there, but I'm making you laugh at the same time. This is better than any comedy club, because you've not laughed this long at the Funny Bone unless you were drunk. It's Sunday morning, y'all, and y'all laughing. You're not even been drinking. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. Okay, we're almost done. Look at your neighbor and say, he's almost done. We can leave soon. He's going to let us go. It's like the little boy at church said, Mom, if we give him money now, can we leave? Man, I got so many scriptures I want to give you, but I think the one that I would like to go to is dealing with spontaneous baptism. There's a story in the Bible in Acts chapter 8, and I'll just paraphrase it for you. In Acts 8, 26 through 39, if you want to read it, there's this guy, and he's riding in his chariot. He's an Ethiopian dude, and he's reading the book of Isaiah, and Philip, the prophet, comes up next to him, and he can hear him reading from the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And get the picture, the chariot's moving, and the man of God's moving with him. They're cooking. So he's supernaturally running, and he can hear the guy. And the guy looks out and says, hey, can I help you? He's like, yeah, do you understand what that says? And he says, I don't. How can I understand unless somebody teaches me? So that shows you that you come to Word, and you hear the Word, the Bible, and it teaches you the Bible. So he jumps in the chariot with him, and he starts explaining to him what the Scripture means. And then all of a sudden, now it's about baptism. And he says, what prevents me from being baptized? Number one, they're in the desert. How many of y'all know that's the prevention right there? So all of a sudden, he looks outside, and supernaturally, the Bible says, there's a pool of water. And he says, there's water. What prevents me? He says, nothing. Do you believe in Jesus? He said, yes. He said, then let's get baptized. So he gets out, Philip and the Ethiopian, and he baptizes him. And when he comes up out of the water, now Philip is gone. Supernaturally, not an airplane ride, but a plane air ride, the Bible says that he is gone. He just disappears. It was a supernatural encounter for this guy, and he was baptized. He said, what prevents me from being baptized? Check this out. Today, here, if you're here and you're like, man, I hear what you're saying, and I need to be baptized. Or I was baptized as a child, and I don't know what it meant. Or I was christened as a child. This is a time for you to say what this Ethiopian said. What prevents me from being baptized? You could do it just today. We have tanks out there. We have shorts. We have shirts. We have towels. We got a sippy cup. We thought of everything for you. So nothing's going to prevent you from saying, hey, count me in. I want to do that. I want to identify. Because when you come up and you understand that the Lord loves you, you do better with the affirmation and the love of a father. Whether it's my daughter or my wife. My wife, I don't even know if we have that. Do we still have that clip from last night? She preached in Guatemala last night to 12,000 women. Check that out.
Praising God here in Costa Rica. I want to Come on, give it up for Nicole. There she is, and she's in Guatemala preaching.
Okay, so last night, before she went on, she called me. She calls me all the time. She drives me crazy, FaceTimes me all the time. Getting ready to go on stage. Why did she call me? Because when I got her, she was molested before she was 10, like she was 8. When she's like 12, she got raped. Now she's looking for love in all the wrong places. Now she does something she shouldn't do in the back of a car when she was 18. Now she's a teen, pregnant, unmarried woman. Now she marries a guy who has all the right initials behind his name, but now he gets the access to the drugs, and now he becomes a cocaine addict. Now he's beating her. Now she feels not loved. Now she's adopted by a father she's never met. I've never met her dad. Then I come along and I start affirming her. Here's who you are. Here's what you have. Here's your son. He's not just your son. He's my son. I'm well pleased with him. Nicole, I will never leave you, forsake you. I'm going to put your name on my arm. I'm telling you, tattoo on heart for tattoo on arm. So now I'm affirming her. When she gets on the stage yesterday, who does she need to talk to? She needs to talk to somebody who she knows loves her and believes in her. And I'm telling her, you go, girl. Nobody's better than you. You go rock that stage. Don't let them put you on a track. You be funny. You be you. You rock you. And then she got off stage and said, guess what? They invited me back next year. They didn't invite any other speakers but me. And I go, I'm going with you, though. It's too long for you and me to be apart. Because people do better when they know they're loved. So dads, affirm your daughters. I don't want anybody else affirming my daughter. I tell her all the time, the boy better open the door for you like this. You get used to these hotels, he better have a good job or work for me. Because you could be staying at the Motel 6. By the way, John McCarthy, the owner of it, he's my friend. If you want to stay at the Motel 6, we can hook you up. But I'm just telling you right now, all these things, I'm affirming them. I'm letting them know the Father loves you. And not to paint a picture for me as being great, because I'm not so great. But the Father, Heavenly Father, he loves you so much. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows the stuff that you did. He knows the stuff that you're going to do that you don't know you're going to do. But he loves you. He's going to give you as long as you need to stop messing up and start learning to walk by faith and not by sight. Stop being so hard on yourself. Stop being so hard on other people. Come on, somebody. Know the Lord loves you. Know that I love you. You're doing better than you think you are. God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. Come on, give him praise today in this house. Look at your neighbor and say, he's a good preacher. Thank you guys for saying that. It really makes me so happy. Now listen, before we go, I have a question. With your eyes open and your head fully up, how many of y'all would say in here today, man, seeing that presentation and hearing that word clicked something in me today, and I feel like maybe I am doing better, and God does love me, and I really needed to hear that. Raise your hand. I just want to see it. Okay, you can put it down. Thank you so much. God does love you, and I love you. I've spent my whole life, I want to spend my whole life preaching Jesus to everybody and let you know what he did for you is a big deal. And no matter what you do, you're not going to surprise him. God's never said, uh-oh, I didn't account for that. He knows it and loves you anyway. He wants you to love you. He wants to embrace you. And I wish I could take time just to come down and hug everybody, touch you on the cheeks and tell you, God loves you. And he's not mad at you, and he's already forgiven you. Now, you can bow your heads right now, and just to have a little privacy for everybody. I'm not going to trick you. I'm not going to ask you to come down. You don't have to do anything but pray this prayer, and we're all going to pray it together so you feel comfortable. But if you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I've never known Jesus. I want to receive him today. Or I knew Jesus, but I've fallen away, and I want to rededicate my life today to this loving God. And I want you to pray a prayer with me and everybody else. I don't want you to be ashamed. I want you to raise your hand right now. Keep it up for about 10 seconds. Come on. Come on. Put it up everywhere. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You can put it down. And everybody strong and loud, say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. I know he loves me. And he has forgiven me. And I make him my Lord and Savior. And I turn my back on my past. And I turn my face towards the cross and the church to be your servant. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I'd like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant. We're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.